And Charles asked, what is the method by which the beginning of the lunar month is established?
The permanent committee responded, authentic ahadith narrated upon the authority of the Prophet indicate that whenever one trustworthy person sees the new moon after the 30th night of Sha'ban, i.e. the evening following the 29th day, or a number of trustworthy people see it on the 30th night of Ramadan, i.e. the evening following the 29th day, then this sighting is assumed. And by this, the beginning of the month is known without the need to take into account the length of time the new moon is visible after the setting of the sun, whether it is 20 minutes or more or less, since there are no authentic ahadith that indicate a specific time limit for the new moon to disappear after the sunset. And with Allah lies all success, and may Allah send prayers and salutations upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and upon his family and all of his noble companions.
Shaykh Ibn al-Athaymeen was asked, how is the beginning of the month of Ramadan established?
The Shaykh responded, the beginning of the month of Ramadan is established either by the new moon being sighted or by the passing of 30 days of the month of Sha'ban. This is based on the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and if you see it, the new moon of Ramadan, then fast, and if you see it, the new moon of Shawwal, then break your fast, and if the clouds block your view, then complete the number of days of Sha'ban, 30 days.
Shaykh Ibn al-Athaymeen was asked, are all the Muslims simple if none of them tried to look out for the new moon at the beginning and ending of Ramadan?
The Shaykh responded, trying to sight the new moon, whether it is the new moon of Ramadan or Shawwal, was a well-known issue during the time of the companions, radiallahu ta'ala anhum jami'a. This is based on the statement of Ibn Umar, radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, who said, the people were looking for the new moon, so I informed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that I had seen it, and he ordered the people to fast according to it. And there is no doubt that the way of the companions is more perfect and complete.
The Permanent Committee for Islamic Research and Fatwas asked, is it permissible for a Muslim to rely upon astronomical calculations in order to establish the beginning and ending of fasting, or is it a must that the new moon is sighted?
The Permanent Committee responded, the Islamic Sharia is a merciful legislation and is general or all-encompassing. Its rulings are appropriate to all of man and jinn upon their differing status, whether they be scholars or illiterate, city people or villagers. And for this reason, Allah made easy for them the way to establish the timings of different forms of worship. He made signs showing their beginning and end times that all these people can participate in establishing. He made, for example, the setting of the sun as a sign for the beginning time of Maghrib prayer and for the ending time of Asr prayer. He made the setting of the red horizon a sign for the beginning time of Isha prayer. And he made the sighting of the new moon after it had been hidden at the end of the previous month as a sign for the beginning of the new lunar month and for the end of the previous month. And he did not burden us to establish the beginning of the lunar month by means that only a few people know, such as knowledge of the stars and the science of astronomy. In this manner, the Quran and the Sunnah made the sighting of the new moon as a sign for the Muslims to begin fasting the month of Ramadan, as was the sighting of the new moon of Shawwal, a sign to stop fasting. The situation is also the same when establishing the Eid of sacrifice and the day of Arafah. Allah Azza wa Jal said, so he who from amongst you should witness the month should fast it. Surah Al-Baqarah, verse number 185. And Allah Azza wa Jal said, they ask you about the new moons. Say, these are signs to mark fixed periods of time for mankind and for the pilgrimage. Surah Al-Baqarah, verse number 189. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when you see the new moon, then start to fast. And when you see it again, break your fast. And if your vision was impaired due to clouds or mist, complete the period of 30 days, al-hadith. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordained that fasting start by affirming the sighting of the new moon of Ramadan, and the end of the month of fasting be by affirmation of the new moon of Shawwal. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not link any of that to astronomical calculations nor to the movement of the stars. And the people acted upon this in the time of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and in the time of the righteous caliphs, the four imams, and the three generations that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam bore witness to with virtue and goodness. So going back to the science of astronomy, to affirm the lunar months and beginning and ending forms of worship without actual sighting is an innovation that has no good in it and has no basis in the Sharia. And the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia is holding fast that which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the righteous predecessors were upon by affirming the beginning and the end of the month of Ramadan, the Eids, and the times of Hajj and their like with the sighting of the moon. And all good is in following the predecessors in religious matters, and all evil is in the innovations that were introduced into the religion. May Allah protect us and all the Muslims from all trials, open or hidden. And with Allah lies all success, and may Allah send prayers and salutations upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and upon his family, and upon all of his noble companions.
The Permanent Committee for Islamic Research and Fatawas asked, what is the ruling regarding those who do not fast at the sighting of the crescent of Ramadan once seen until they see it for themselves? Using as a proof for this, the hadith that says, fast when you see it, i.e. the new moon of Ramadan, and stop fasting when you see it, i.e. the new moon of Shawwal. Is it correct for them to use this hadith as a proof?
The Permanent Committee responded, fasting becomes obligatory once the sighting of the crescent is established, even if only one trustworthy witness from amongst the Muslims affirmed the sighting of the new moon. This is so because the Prophet ﷺ ordered fasting when the Bedouin Arab bore witness to the sighting of the crescent. As for using the hadith, fast when you see it, as a proof that any individual does not fast until he sees the crescent for himself, then this is incorrect. This is because the hadith is a general address for fasting once the sighting is established, even if that sighting was done by only one trustworthy person from amongst the Muslims. And with Allah lies all success. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon our Prophet Muhammad, upon his family, and all of his companions.
Shaykh Ibn Jibreen has asked, if the Muslims saw the new moon of Ramadan in one country, would it be upon the Muslims in other countries to fast as well?
The Shaykh responded, we do not doubt the different settings of the moon and the difference between two countries in sighting the moon. For this reason, many scholars held that every country should have their own sighting if there was between them an actual difference of settings. Their proof was the story of Quraysh, the servant of Ibn Abbas. When Ramadan started while he was in Sham, the area known today as Syria, Jordan, and Palestine, the people of Sham started fasting on Friday. The new moon, however, was not seen in Medina until Friday night. Quraysh told Ibn Abbas that Muawiyah and the people of Sham fasted on Friday. Ibn Abbas said, but we shall continue fasting until we see the moon showing the end of the month, or until we complete 30 days. That is what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered us to do. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah strengthened the position that it was obligatory upon the people in the country that saw the moon to fast, as well as those countries in front of them. He established that whenever the moon was seen in a country, it was for sure to be seen in the countries that came after that country on the map, because its setting is delayed to after that of the sun, and whenever it is delayed, it increases in distance away from the sun and in clarity and manifestation. So if it was seen in Bahrain, for example, it would obligate fasting upon those countries which come after it, like Najd, the Hijaz, which includes Mecca, Medina, and Jeddah, Egypt, and Morocco. It would not obligate fasting for those countries before it, however, like Sindh and India, and those further beyond the sea.
The Permanent Committee for Islamic Research and Fatawa was asked, how does a person make the intention to fast in Ramadan? Is simply knowledge of the start of Ramadan sufficient to fast the rest of the days?
The Permanent Committee responded, the intention takes the form of a determination and a resolve to fast, and it is imperative to determine the intention to fast in Ramadan during the night and every night. And Allah, and with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the success, and may Allah send prayers and salutations upon our Prophet Muhammad, his family and all of his companions.
Sheikh Ibn Fawzan has asked, sometimes I fast without making an intention in starting the fast. So is making an intention every day a condition for fasting, or is it sufficient to make one intention at the start of the month?
The Sheikh responded, fasting, as well as other acts of worship, are those things which must be preceded by intention. The Prophet ﷺ said, verily actions are but by intention, and for everyone is what he intended. And in another narration, there is no act except with intention. So, for fasting Ramadan, it is obligatory to make the intention during the night, sometime before the arrival of Fajr, of the day that one intends to fast. A Muslim's rising from sleep in the last part of the night and eating the pre-dawn meal, suhoor, is an indication of the presence of the intention. It is not required that a person utter the intention by the tongue by saying, I intend to fast. This is an innovation and it is not permissible. The intention in Ramadan is to be done for every day of the fast because each day is a separate act of worship requiring its intention. So the intention for the fast is to be made in the heart for every day of fasting during the night before. If someone makes the intention during the night, then sleeps and does not wake up until after the time of Fajr has entered, then his fast is valid due to the presence of the intention from the night.
Sheikh Ibn al-Faymin has asked, is a firm intention to break the fast without actually eating or drinking break the fast?
The Sheikh responded, it is well known that fasting is a combination of both the intention and leaving all the things that nullify the fast. A person's intention when fasting is to bring himself closer to Allah by leaving all the things that will break the fast. So if a person has made a firm decision to break his fast, then the fast is broken. However, if this is in the month of Ramadan, then it is obligatory upon him to refrain from eating until sunset. This is because anyone who breaks the fast in Ramadan without a valid reason has to refrain from eating the rest of the day, and it is also upon him to make up for this day by fasting that which he has missed once Ramadan has passed. However, if he is not firm in his decision and hesitates, then the scholars have differed in opinion about this. Some have said that the fast is nullified because hesitation is contradictory to a firm decision, and others have said that the fast is still valid because the original state is the presence of an intention to fast until a firm decision is made to break and cancel it.
Sheikh Ibn al-Uthaymeen has asked, I made the intention to fast for 60 days as expiation and postponed it until the winter. So what if I die before the winter?
The Sheikh responded, if fasting out of expiation is made obligatory upon a person, then it is obligatory to make haste in doing so, as that which is obligatory must be carried out as soon as possible. However, if it is difficult for him to fast the expiation during the summer days because of the long days and the severe heat, then there is no harm if he were to delay this until the colder days. If he were to die before doing so, then there is no sin upon him because he delayed the fasting for a valid Islamic reason. However, those fasts need to be made up as much as possible, and if no one fasts on his behalf, then a needy person must be fed for every day that remains to be fasted.
Sheikh Ibn al-Faymin has asked, I intended to fast every Monday and Thursday, but did not vow to do this. So is it obligatory upon me to fast these 2 days of the week all my life? For example, if I fasted on a Thursday and then broke my fast in the middle of the day, is it obligatory upon me to make up for this day?
The Sheikh responded, an act does not become incumbent just by having made an intention to do it. So if a person intended to fast every Monday and Thursday, but then did not fast them, then there is no harm in this. Likewise, if someone starts to fast and then breaks it, there is no harm in this. This is because it is not obligatory upon a person to complete a voluntary fast. Even if a person intended to give money in charity and decided where and how much to give, then it is still not binding upon him to donate as he had intended, because in matters like these, mere intention does not make the act obligatory. Based upon this, we would say to the questioner that it is not obligatory upon you to make up the fast that you broke on Thursday, and also it is not obligatory upon you to continue to fast every Monday and Thursday. However, if you were to do so, then it is good, since the fast of both Monday and Thursday is from the Sunnah.
Sheikh Ibn al-Faymin has asked, in
Saudi Arabia, the canons indicate the beginning and ending of Ramadan. So earlier this evening, we heard the canon more than once, and we doubted whether it was Eid or Ramadan. So we waited until we heard something from the Imam before Fajr, but we didn't hear anything. So what is the ruling regarding hesitancy towards whether to fast or not?
The Shaykh responded, it is obligatory upon a person to make verification, and the basic rule is that things remain as they were. If it was something else, it would have been openly clear, so that the people would know, and hence not eat suhoor nor fast. In any case, this day is considered as a day of Ramadan, and if the ending of the month was established, the matter would have been clear. So based upon this, it is obligatory upon the person to fast in such a situation without hesitancy, because the basic rule in this case is that Ramadan remains. However, if it becomes clear later on that it was actually the day of Eid, he should then break his fast.
Sheikh Ibn Fawzan was asked, on the first night of Ramadan, preceding the first day of Ramadan, a person went to sleep before knowing that the next day would be the first day of fasting. So when he woke up and went for the Fajr prayer, he asked one of the Muslims who happened to be the last one left in the masjid, but he did not know. So this man continued as he was and did not eat nor drink anything. When he reached work, he found that the people were fasting, and so only then found out for definite about the fasting. So based on this, he continued in this state and fasted until the evening. Was his fast correct on that day, or does he have to make it up? We request you to give us a fatwa, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you much good.
The Shaykh responded, one who does not know about the arrival of Ramadan except during the first day, then it is obligatory for him to refrain from all that breaks the fast, from food and drink, etc., for the rest of the day, and then make up that day, because he did not make the intention to fast the previous night. That is because it is mentioned in many ahadith that there is no fast for the one who did not make intention during the previous night for the obligatory fast of the next day. So in the case of this person, some of the day had passed while he did not make intention to fast. So therefore, it is obligatory for him to make up the fast of that day.
Sheikh Ibn Jibreel has asked, is it a must for one who is fasting that when he makes the intention to fast in Ramadan, that he specify that it is an obligatory fast?
The Shaykh responded, it is enough for him to make the intention that it is the fast of Ramadan, and not to say, I have made the intention that it is an obligatory fast, since it is understood that the fast of Ramadan is obligatory.
Sheikh Ibn Jibreel has asked, what is the ruling regarding making the intention vocally, such as when some people make the intention to fast by saying, O Allah, I have made the intention to fast?
The Shaykh responded, the place of the intention is in the heart, and it is not permissible to vocally make the intention either for the prayer or for the fast, or for purification or other than these.
The Permanent Committee for Islamic Research and Fatwas asked, when does it become obligatory for the child to fast, and what is the age limit?
The Permanent Committee responded, a child is ordered to pray when he reaches the age of 7, and beat them to do so at the age of 10, and it becomes obligatory upon them when he reaches puberty. Puberty is determined by one of four things: ejaculation due to sexual arousal, appearance of pubic hair around the private parts, having wet dreams, if ejaculation occurs, or reaching the age of 15 years. And in the case of a female, if she has her menses. The source of the aforementioned is what Imam Ahmed and Abu Dawood have related on the authority of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam: order your children to pray at 7 and beat them to pray at 10 and separate them from each other in the bed. Also, in an authentic hadith narrated by Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, who said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, the pen has been lifted for three individuals: the sleeper until he awakens, the young child until he reaches puberty, and the mentally ill until he comprehends. And with Allah lies all success, and may Allah send prayers and salutations upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam,
to speak before the suhoor, i.e. the fidal meal in Ramadan, whilst having the intention to take the suhoor, but he slept through till the morning, is his fast correct or not?
The Shaykh responded, his fast is correct because suhoor, i.e. the pre-dawn meal, is not a condition for the correctness of the fast. Rather, it is only preferable to eat suhoor. Because of an authentic hadith related by both Al-Imam Bukhari and Al-Imam Muslim, where the Prophet ﷺ said, take suhoor, for certainly in it is blessing.
Shaykh Ibn al-Uthaymeen has asked, what is the ruling of the fast of one who at times is sane and at times is not, or is sane at times and senile at another?
The Shaykh responded, the legal ruling here revolves around the state of his mental health at the time. So at the times he is awake and sane, then he must fast. And at the times he is unconscious or insane or senile, he is not required to fast. Let us assume he is senile one day and sane the next. Then on the day that he is senile, he is not required to fast. While on the day that he is sane, he is required to fast.
Shaykh Ibn Jibreen has asked, which food items are preferred for the fasting person to break his fast with?
The Shaykh responded, it is preferable to break the fast with fresh dates. However, if they are unavailable, then with dry dates. And if they are also unavailable, then with water. And the evidence for this is the hadith of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, who said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to break his fast with fresh dates. And if they were unavailable, then with dry dates. And if they were unavailable, then he used to take water. However, if none of these are available to him, then it is permissible for him to break his fast with any permissible food items. And still, if nothing is available to him, then he should simply make the intention to break the fast.
Shaykh Ibn Jibreen was asked, is there any reward for breaking the fast with a food item that was previously mentioned as preferable?
The Shaykh responded, if a person broke his fast with these preferable food items with the intention of following the example of the Prophet ﷺ, then for him is the reward of following him, even if he followed the Sunnah in mubah matters, or those matters where there is no reward nor any sin attached to the particular action. If he were to follow the example of the Prophet ﷺ in these matters, then he would be rewarded for that action. Because of this, the scholars say, certainly with good intention, good habits become acts of worship.
The Permanent Committee for Islamic Research and Fatwa was asked, if a person is fasting during Ramadan and is traveling to another country and he does not have anything except water, what does he do?
The committee responded, if a person is fasting and the sun sets, and he does not find anything to break his fast with except water, then he should break his fast with the water, because breaking the fast with fresh or dried dates is preferable, but not obligatory. And with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the success, and may Allah send prayers and salutations upon our Prophet Muhammad, and upon his family, and all of his companions.
The Permanent Committee for Islamic Research and Fatwa was asked, my father is approximately 70 years of age, and for 3 years now, he has been afflicted with sickness that I hope from Allah is a mercy from him and an expiation for his sins. This sickness has caused him to be incapable of fasting, so much so that if he fasts, his hearing, seeing, and self deteriorate. So he is incapable of fasting Ramadan. So please inform us of what is required.
The Permanent Committee responded, if the condition of your father is as you have stated, then the fasting of Ramadan is not obligatory upon him. Rather, it is obligatory upon him to feed the poor in place of each day of Ramadan half a sa'a of wheat, dates, rice, or the like of that which he feeds his family. This is based upon the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so fear Allah as much as you can. Surah At-Taghabun, verse number 16. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, Allah does not burden a soul with that which is greater than it can bear. Surah Al-Baqarah, verse number 286. And with Allah lies all success, and may Allah send prayers and salutations upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon his family,
and all of his noble companions.
The Permanent Committee for Islamic Research and Fatawa was asked, if I wanted to fast but was unable to wake up before the Adhan of Salat al-Fajr, is it permissible for me to eat after the Adhan, knowing that this is a supererogatory fast?
The committee responded, if the situation is as you have stated, then do not eat or drink after the Adhan of Salat al-Fajr, so long as you wish to fast. Even if your fast is a supererogatory one, if you were to eat after this Adhan of Salat al-Fajr, your fast would become nullified.
Shaykh Ibn Jibreen was asked, in Ramadan, if the time for Salat al-Fajr is approaching and I need to make ghusl, but there is not enough time to perform it, nor eat the sahur, should I perform the ghusl and miss the sahur, or should I eat the sahur and delay the ghusl until after Salat al-Fajr?
The Shaykh responded, it is better to eat sahur, or the pre-dawn meal, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, eat the pre-dawn meal, for in it is blessing, al-hadith. And it is better to delay the ghusl, because its time is plenty. So if Fajr has arrived, and you have not made ghusl, then make it and pray, and your fast will not be affected. That is because it has been confirmed in an authentic hadith narrated by both Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim, on the authority of Aisha and Umm Salima radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, that if the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered the time of Fajr while still in a state of sexual impurity from having had relations with his wife, then he used to make ghusl and then fast.
Shaykh Ibn al-Uthaymeen was asked, we live in a land in which the sun does not set until 9:30 p.m. or 10 p.m. So when should we break our fast?
The Shaykh responded, break your fast when the sun has set, so long as you have a clearly defined night and day within the 24-hour period, it is obligatory that you fast even if the day is long.